So if you would, let's open up to our portion we'll be looking at this evening is Proverbs chapter 1. I wish I could show you a diagram here, but what I like to do a lot of times is I put the scripture together or I take a look at it and I just kind of diagram it. And I wish I almost had an overhead projector because then I could do my fine artwork with you, but it's probably better you don't have to look at that. But it gives you an idea of what we're going to take a look at in Proverbs. So I'll try to do this, not with drawings, but just in far as the word communication. So as we open up here, let's begin with Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll begin with verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Oh, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and enigma, or a figure of speech, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So these are words that Solomon wrote to us, and he put them down and recorded them, and these words of Proverbs were actually put together around his reign in the 900s BC, and then they were put together and consolidated by King Hezekiah and his men. And not all of them are written by Solomon, but the majority of them are. So what we're going to see here as we open up our portion, is there a clicker here? Is this right here? Okay. Is that, first of all, we'll be looking at basic an outline of this, real easy to see. So I'll just show you like this. We'll be talking about who is Solomon, this individual who is presenting these Proverbs. Then we'll take a look at the purpose of Proverbs, and we can see there's infinitives there. There's five of them, which gives us the purpose of why this book was written and how we can gain wisdom from partaking and enjoying this book. And then the prerequisite he ends with in verse 7 is the fear of the Lord. That really is the beginning of knowledge. If we really want to know things as they are, we need to see that all knowledge, all things that are important for us to understand, are found in seeing that the Lord has a corner of the market on truth. So as we begin with, let's kind of look at a history. I want to begin with looking at who is this man Solomon? Many of us know who he is as far as he was called one of the wisest men in the world, apart from Jesus Christ. And people came from miles and countries and faraway places to hear all of the wise things that he had to say. But where did he get his wisdom? And what are some things that he said that allowed him to have, and what did he seek after that allowed him to gain a wise heart? So if you would, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 3 to get a background of the author here and find out what he learned about wisdom. First Kings chapter 2, and we'll begin, or chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, and we'll begin with verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant, David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father. And so Solomon was about to take over the reign of the whole nation of Israel. And he was going to take the place of his father David, who was a great ruler. And look what his attitude was as he approached the Lord in prayer and as he saw who he was as the leader of Israel, as he says, "But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." I love that. I really love that portion. Look at his posture that he had. He had a position as a king, as a ruler of Israel, and yet his posture was one of a servant. And he realized that compared to the God of the universe, he was but a child. And he didn't know how to reign. I don't know how to go in or out. And verse 8, And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? So as we see on our PowerPoint here, we see that Solomon had a position as king, and yet he saw himself as a servant. His posture was one of humility, and he recognized that before a holy God, he was but a child. And so what he prayed for was for wisdom and an understanding heart to be able to rule the people, to rule God's people. And he asked for discernment, to be able to discern between evil and good. And he recognized that he wasn't able to judge this great people of the Lord's. And so the first thing we'll notice here is that when Solomon took over in rulership, he realized his lowly position. And God honored that, as it says in verse 10. So God gave him a great provision. In verse 10, the Lord responds, "The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked him this thing. Then God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your ways. So if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days.'" Now what would happen is if we were faced with Solomon, and as it said in verse 5, if God said to us, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Doesn't that kind of remind you of having a genie bottle before you? And you can rub it, and, you know, as you see some of the mythology with Aladdin, and he says, "What is it that you would like?" And I am so impressed that the Lord recorded this, because Solomon asked the right thing. He recognized who he was. He had the correct posture, and he realized that he was but a little child. And, you know, it doesn't matter how old we are. We are still like little children, aren't we? We are inept in many ways to lead our household, to be fathers, to be parents, to be a student. And we are even not able, if we are a child, to follow all the precepts of our parents. And so Whatever our lot is in life, whether it's on the job, in the household, as a parent, as a spouse, wherever you're at, the Lord wants to give you wisdom, and we are all his children if we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, as we see that the presenter of Proverbs was Solomon, now let's see what some of the Proverbs that Solomon had learned. Let's go to the next chapter, 29 through 34. And God, 1 Kings 4, verse 29, and God gave Solomon wisdom, an exceedingly great understanding, and a largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of the Egyptians, or of those of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Israelite, and Heman, Shalcal, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. And it's recorded how many proverbs he spoke. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. So his breadth of knowledge and wisdom was in many fields of understanding and of science. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth who had heard this wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And so when we have the book of Proverbs before us, what's very interesting, as we are going to go in and dive into some of the detail of just the beginning of Proverbs and see what its purpose was, and we've learned a little bit about who the author is who recorded these, we see that how many Proverbs was it recorded that he had given? It says in verse 32, 3,000 Proverbs. Well, they must have noted them all and wrote them down and had a scribe write these things down. But one of the things that we have and we'll notice when we go to the book of Proverbs is that there's not 3,000, and I haven't counted, but somebody did the counting, and there's 1,007 Proverbs that are recorded. So we can gain much wisdom from this book and from the things that Solomon spoke, as well as some of his other, some other individuals that followed him that are recorded in this book. But first of all, before we do that, we need to look at what is a proverb. Well, a proverb is really, it's a pointed saying that conveys meaning through the help of comparison or contrast to teach us about conduct and character. So a proverb really is, if you want to look at it, it's really a comparison for us to understand things between two ideas to get a better understanding and a clarity about life and how we can conduct ourselves in life and about our character and what kind of character we are as far as how God describes it. Now, it's interesting. The word proverb is actually made up of a Latin word. It's two words. The word pro means instead of, and the word verba is it stands for words. Thus, a proverb, according to the Latin usage, is a short statement that takes place of many words. Now, wouldn't that be nice, Julie, if I could just get to the point oftentimes in my own life? And because a lot of times she says to me, well, just get to the point, just get to the point. Proverbs get right to the point. And, you know, you think about these, proverbs are very, very practical. And if you start to go through them with your children, there'll be things that you can teach your kids without lecturing them, because it's going to just say it in a short, pithy maxim or statement. So there's many gems that can be gotten from this book if we would just take the time to look at it. But the basic meaning of a proverb is a comparison. Now, there's different kinds of proverbs that we're going to take a look at just to get a sampling of it. There's proverbs of contrasts. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 14, just to kind of get a taste of some of these proverbs that are recorded. So we're going to just take a look at a little bit of sprinklings of these proverbs through the book, as this really just is an introduction lesson to the book of Proverbs, and hopefully whet your appetite to want to read more on your own. So as we open up to Proverbs chapter 14, we will see many proverbs of contrasts. And what you'll notice about this is from Proverbs 10 through 14, you're going to see these statements. It's going to be these contrasts with the words but continually. So let's read a couple of them to get this flavor here. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. So we see these contrasts between two different people and two different groups of people and character in life. And really the challenge then is, what kind of person are you? And what kind of person am I? And what kind of person do I want to be? And what kind of person does the Lord want us to be? And so another study that would be interesting to do, which I haven't done, but I've looked at some of them, is to see the different portraits and proverbs of the different individuals. And I've been told that there's over 180 of them. But kind of our main ones here we see is a wise man and a foolish man. We'll see in other places, like in verse 6, there's the scoffer. Well, what's the scoffer? A scoffer is someone who just scoffs like, oh, you don't know anything. And he just doesn't want to accept truth at all. He just is not open to be taught. He's not open to correction. In fact, he harasses anybody who's interested in truth. And so we'll see these different characters as we look through the book of Proverbs, as you read these things on your own. So first of all, we note the proverbs of contrast. Then there's the idea of the proverbs of completion. And these have and as connectors. So one of the ones we're really familiar with, probably the most well-known proverb that many of us and our children have memorized, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this is a proverb of completion, and it has the word and in it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you need to couple that with, and this is what and is, it's a connector. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And as you do that, do not lean on your own understanding. You trusted him, but you don't trust yourself. You act like Solomon did, that he didn't know how to go in or out. You recognize that wisdom comes from the Lord and not from your own understanding. Then he continues on in verse 6. And in all your ways, acknowledge him. Recognize that he is the God of the universe, and he knows all things, and he shall direct your path. So one of the things we notice is that the Lord really likes it. Even as Solomon prayed, the Lord was very pleased when we recognize that we don't have something that the Lord has. And it creates that idea of dependence on him, which the Lord loves. And you know, it can be boiled down to this. It is impossible to please God unless we are pleased with God. It is impossible to please God unless we are pleased with him. And that's really where it starts. For without faith is it impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Thirdly, we see that Proverbs are, there are proverbs of comparison. And this will use the words like and so, or better than. And we can look at a couple of them here. Let's take a look at Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19:1, it's a better than. Better is the poor man who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So your status, your riches, your wealth, from God's perspective, isn't as important as being a man of integrity. And isn't that true when you look at people? Sometimes you look at these people that are quote-unquote famous and in the limelight, and maybe they're good at sports, but they really don't have any wisdom. They may make a lot of money, but they lack wisdom. And many of them are perverse as well. And then we can look at Proverbs 26:1-2. As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. A fool is not to be honored. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without a cause shall not alight. So we get a flavor of these, and there's thousands of them we could go through. But I just wanted to give you a high level of what some of the Proverbs were. Now, one thing that's very interesting about the Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, it's a transdispensational book. And what I mean by that is these are universal truths that apply apart from the audience. It's true, and they're truisms that are for all to understand and to take heed to. The other thing that's interesting about the book of Proverbs is it's not addressed to individuals. It doesn't mention the nation of Israel in its addresses. Now, at the beginning verse, Solomon tells you that he's the son of David, the king of Israel, but there's no admonitions to the nation of Israel. They're all admonitions to individuals. And the other thing we need to keep in mind about Proverbs is that the Proverbs are not promises, but rather general observations of a truth and of life. And they're also truisms, which are not always true, but they're true generally as far as someone who honors and walks wisely and upright, it says she'll live a long life. Well, that's true in general, but there are some people, obviously, that die at younger age. So just those are some things to keep in mind with Proverbs as well. So it's kind of a high level of what Proverbs are and the types of Proverbs. But as we look at our portion here, I really want to zone in on what is the purpose of Proverbs for us. And I just highlighted on there so you can kind of see it, some of these infinitives, or these are some things that the Proverbs really want to impart for us. They want to impart to us, first of all, wisdom. God wants us to know what wisdom and instruction is. And wisdom and wise in this book is used 125 times. Well, what is wisdom? Well, wisdom is a word, chokmah, in the Hebrew, and it means to be skillful or experienced or one of mastery. When this word was first used, it really was used as far as a skill that was technical or physical work in fashioning objects. So, for example, in Exodus 31, when the Lord was telling Moses about the building of the tabernacle, he says that he had filled with wisdom, the Spirit of God filled many of the individuals of Israel with wisdom and understanding and knowledge, and it was in the area of workmanship. God gave them a skill to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze. He gave them artistic skills in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood. and to work in all manner of workmanship. So this was originally used, this term chokmah, was someone who was skilled in their craft. When I think of this word skilled, I always think of my my daughter-in-law, Christine, her father, Steve. He's retired now, but he was a sheet metal worker. And I think sheet metal workers are, I don't know how they do it. They cut metal, they bend it, they make it go their certain way, and they got to do the cuts certain ways so that they form together, and they make the designs, and they just know how to fashion and form metal and twist it to different directions to make it become heating ducts and transporting different things like that. You think of people that are in carpentry, that are very skilled with wood. They can make furniture. It's an art. They are chokmah. They are skilled in their trade. The other way this term is used is skillful in administrative leadership, skilled in leading people, in managing projects of sorts. This term was used when Joseph came to the king of Pharaoh. And now therefore let Pharaoh, Joseph said, because there's going to be 7 years of famine, or 7 years of plenty before 7 years of famine, as he told Pharaoh about his dream. And Pharaoh said, well, what should I do to prepare for this? And this is what the response of Joseph was back to Pharaoh. Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt, someone who can administer and direct the nation. This was considered a very wise man. But in the book of Proverbs, it's really about learning and being skillful in the art of living, and in the art of living in accordance with God's expectation. So the perfect purpose of Proverbs, first of all, is for us to learn to acquire and apply God's wisdom and his truth to the decisions of our daily life. It's a very practical book. Wise women and men who are those who have acquired the competence to grasp the meaning of a situation, to understand what to do and how to do it in the right way, in the right time. You see, wisdom really is the practical, vertical guidelines that we receive from the Lord out in a horizontal dimension. Lord, teach me what it means to walk with you in my daily life. It's that knowledge and ability to make the right choices at the opportune time. And it's the consistency of making the right choice. That is an indication of one's maturity and development. See, do you see, to know wisdom, it's not just elusive theory, but it's factual information. It's not abstract, but it's fuzzy, something we can be sure of. That's why it says to know wisdom and instruction. It's to know truth as it is seen in God's eyes. And biblical wisdom really has nothing to do with our IQ or our education. But it does have a lot to do with our character and our values. It means looking at the world through the grid of God's word. So we see then that to know wisdom and instruction is the first purpose. And instruction means to teach by discipline. Now what I did with the handout is I just kind of gave you a synopsis in these boxes of what some of these words mean. I'm not going to go through them specifically directly, but we'll go through them indirectly through the PowerPoint. But just so you get an idea, I just wrote some of those definitions down for you so you don't have to feel like you have to write them all down. So wisdom is to have that skillfulness in living, whereas instruction really is to teach by discipline. It's that idea of child training or chastening. The person that is wise is one who is, first of all, teachable. Someone who has been able to be disciplined and corrected by the Lord, and for them to say, thank you, Lord, for showing me that, for pointing that out. It's one who's of a humble spirit. So the first thing, one of the things we can learn about wisdom is that perfect wisdom is only resident in God, and it's only found in Jesus Christ. Just take a look at Job 28, an interesting portion that I came upon that maybe you've heard it before, but I thought it was very cool. Job 28. And Job is searching and searching for wisdom to try to figure out, why am I suffering? And why are these things happening? And why do these events happen? And he's confused and doesn't understand. And he says in this way, verse 12. Job 28:12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is a place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. And the sea says, it's not in me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. Where is wisdom found? And then we go to verse 20. He asks the question, again, from where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? And the answer is in verse 23. God understands its ways, and he knows its place. So God is the one who has the corner on wisdom, and God alone. That's why James could say in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, and we all lack wisdom, don't we? We all have a need to understand how life works and how we should respond to different situations. And so if any of you lacks wisdom, what should we do? We should ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it shall be given to him. God has the corner on wisdom. And that wisdom is found in Jesus Christ, as the New Testament tells us in Colossians 2:3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you want to be wise, you'd be wise in knowing who Jesus Christ is, because he is the one who has the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and they're hidden in him. So, do you see your need of wisdom? Do you see that only Jesus Christ is the place where wisdom is found for us? That he was made sin for us who knew not no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God. God was very wise in recognizing that we could not solve the sin problem. And man tries to make himself better and better all the time. And apart from Jesus Christ, that's impossible. We can never be 100% perfect 100% of the time. And so God in his wisdom saw the problem and met the need. And that only way was through Jesus Christ in his dying on the cross in our place. He had to take the penalty for our sins. He had to be the perfect, righteous substitute who could take our judgment upon himself, and God's justice could be satisfied. And so 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 goes on to say, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, his righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So not as does he supply for our salvation, first tense, in his wisdom by taking care of the sin problem, but he also wants to teach us that are saved to learn to continue to rely on him as his children and draw our wisdom from him. So perfect wisdom is only resident in God, and God has revealed his wisdom in the written word of God. God is so kind. He has the cornerstone on wisdom, and he's put it in a book here for us. we would be wise to dig out these truths and make them our own. As Proverbs 2:6 says, that God has revealed his wisdom in and through the written word of God. It says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly." So God's perfect. Is the only one that has the corner of the market on wisdom, and he's revealed his wisdom through the word of God. God's wisdom is only revealed to those who diligently seek it out and seek him out for it by faith. As we're in Proverbs, let's first read chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And look at all the if statements. These are the conditions of individuals if they want to have wisdom from God. "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So if you want wisdom, it's available. But God will only reveal his wisdom in a practical way is if you're teachable and willing to see that he knows all and we know nothing and rely on him for that direction. And then lastly, the requirement to obtain God's wisdom is an attitude of submission and humility. And I have Proverbs 15, 31 through 33 that kind of goes along with this point. "The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Doesn't that tie in with some of the things in the New Testament that God gives grace to the humble? God gives wisdom and honor to those who are of a humble heart as well. But we must be teachable. So really the question is, are you teachable? Are you correctable? Because if you're not, you'll never get wisdom. And I know none of us like correction, but by nature. But we need to have the right attitude, the mental attitude that says, "Thank you, Lord, for rebuking me, for telling me I'm wrong, and for taking the time to do that, because you love and care for me." And so we see that the purpose of Proverbs is to know wisdom, instruction, and it's also to learn discernment and discerning or perceiving the words of understanding. Now, the word discern really carries with it the idea to critically think or to distinguish truth from error, to foresee consequences of choices. And understanding is this idea of being able to put things together. And then we will also learn to receive the instruction of wisdom. So as I kind of looked at this, and I wish I could draw it out, but I looked at this like knowing, like a magnifying glass. You can know things and, you know, a detective searching things. God wants us to know wisdom and instruction. And then as we take things that we learn, God wants us to be able to have this tool like either a siphon or a screen when you're filtering out the bad from the good. God wants us to give that discernment to understand things and then to receive the instruction of wisdom. And the instruction of wisdom is going to teach us about some things. It's going to teach us about justice. It's going to teach us about judgment. Justice is correct decisions. And he's going to teach us about equity as well. And equity is that idea of moral integrity. Moral integrity. These are some things that God wants you to receive from him. But you can only receive from him if you realize you're lacking it. So the purpose of Proverbs is for us to know wisdom and instruction, to gain discernment, and to receive the instruction or direction of wisdom. And then God wants to also give prudence to the simple. Prudence to the simple. The simple man is a character that's mentioned quite a bit in the book of Proverbs. He's the one who is very naive, very gullible. He's influenced by fads, by media, by advertisements. Whatever things are going, he believes it. We used to call someone like this in life an airhead, okay? They just believe whatever you told them. Didn't really think things true, you know, didn't really see that, man, you know, you got to check out what people say. You know, we see this all the time. I remember, and you probably remember this, just think of, you'd see things, oh, scientists have said that eggs are bad for you because they raise your cholesterol. And then years later, we realize, well, that's actually good cholesterol and eggs are actually good for you. So, you know, you got to just take things and be able to filter things out and siphon things down and ask the Lord for wisdom. And we see that that's very important in life. And he's able to give prudence to the simple. Prudence is to be wise what we do in the management of affairs. You know, prudence really has gotten a bad rap, hasn't it? We say, oh, someone's really a prude, you know. But to be prude is to be wise in the management of all your affairs. It's actually a good term. The other thing about a simple person is they're not only naive, but they're also very gullible. Turn with me to Proverbs 14:15. You can see some illustration of a simple person. 14:15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. So the simple person is always considering things and bringing them before the Lord. So those are some things that we can learn about the purposes of Proverbs. And I can see we're running out of time here. Let me see what time it is. What time you guys got?
5 after.
Oh, okay. I got a little bit more then. I'm looking at the timer here and it says an hour. But that includes when we started it for the song, so I guess I'm okay. Okay, good. So God wants to give us these things, knowledge, discernment. He wants us to be receptive to his instructions. He wants to give us the ability to wise the affairs of life correctly. He doesn't want us to be simple or naive or gullible. The other thing about a simple person is he lacks moral perception. Turn with me to Proverbs 22:13. If I wrote that down right. 22:3. There we go. The prudent man foresees evil and he hides from it. But the simple pass on and are punished. You just see people like that. They don't see the consequences. They do things and they don't see, you know, if I continue down this path, bad things are going to happen. And they're saying, well, I'm having a good time. I don't care. And then bad things happen and they're punished. So God doesn't want us to be that. He wants us to be wise in the affairs of life and how we deal with things. The other thing about a simple person is he has no sense of the consequences. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foresees evil and he hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. So again, the same principle there. He doesn't see the consequences of punishment. And so that's the idea that God wants to give us wisdom. Now, isn't this just practical, just different areas of life? One of the things I think is really important is, and very interesting, in fact, is that God has given us 31 chapters in Proverbs. One proverb a day is what some people recommend. An apple a day helps keep the doctor away. Well, a proverb a day may help you to get wiser, for you to get your focus on what are some wise things that I can learn from the Lord in these short, pithy statements. And I would encourage you then also to read these along with your children, or if your children are old enough, for them to take the opportunity to read these things and gain understanding. I heard a story about one individual that would give their child a dollar every day they read a proverb. So at the end of the, they'd give them a dollar at the end of the, I'm not sure how it worked. They just got paid for reading a proverb. I'm trying to think. I don't know if it gave them 31 bucks. I don't think so. But it would just be an incentive for them just to read these things and to consider what kind of person would the Lord have me to be? And what's really interesting about it, as we look at the characters that are in, and we just looked at the simple, for example, here, but as you read these proverbs, you'll start to see, oh boy, yeah, I guess I kind of fit that. It's very humbling. You know, he talks about the sluggard a lot, someone who doesn't really use their time wisely. Julie, you can laugh at that one, can't you? Someone who, I heard this illustration, this kind of fits me as well. You know, my wife is very organized, and I'm just kind of like, well, whatever, you know. And I'm not. I'm not very wise in the use of how I place things. You know, she's all into, well, you need to hang up your clothes and put them away. Well, I guess I do hang them up, but I usually hang them up over the chair. And so it creates chaos, and then over time, I can't find things. So, Pastor Dave, I know you've talked about your office. What you say? You said something about filing or?
Pilot or file it.
You're my kind of man, okay? But there are problems with that, and I know I just came across one today where Julie's looking for some particular paper, and she says, well, I know where it used to be, but you moved it, and now you don't even know where it was. So I get reproofs in life by reading the book of Proverbs because I don't take the time to consider what the Lord's perspective is on things. So there's very practical things. And the other thing I notice is that as you get older as a believer, you start to see different characteristics about yourself that need correction. Well, these are really good at addressing those. And the other thing is you notice different characteristics about people and things that you need to learn to avoid as well. So this is why I really like some of the Proverbs. And this is just going to be a short study here. I wanted to just kind of dabble your feet a little bit to understand who the presenter was of the Proverbs and what some of the purposes are for Proverbs. And the last one is then to understand a proverb. So we see in verse 5, and I've got it up on the screen here, that God wants to give prudence to the simple, and he wants to give the young men knowledge and discretion. So there's two men there. There's the simple man, and there's also young men. And they are addressed here, and young men, what they lack sometimes is experience. And so Proverbs is a great book to give you experience and knowledge and discretion. And if you are wise and you want to be a wise man or woman, you will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. That idea of wise counsel is guidance. If you want guidance, God can guide you if you're willing to be led. And the last thing here is to understand a proverb. God, some of the proverbs are difficult to understand at times, but they're kind of a way for you to think about what is the author here, the author being God, trying to tell me in this portion. And the last thing here then we'll see is this idea of the prerequisites. The prerequisite for understanding wisdom is really, and knowledge, is the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is to recognize, it's that reverential respect. It's to recognize and to acknowledge that He is the Creator and we are His creatures. He's the Father, and if we're believers, we are His children. And it's seeing that right order that He understands. He is the Lord, He is the Master, and we are His servants. And isn't that the attitude that Solomon had when he approached the Lord? He said, even though He's the king and leader of Israel, he said, I am your servant. We are servants of the Lord. And what a better place to be than to be a servant of the Lord. It doesn't matter what you have in life or what your status in life, but the greatest position is to be a child of God and to know that you're going to heaven, because everything we have is at one point going to be, we're going to die, and we can't take things with us. That's one of the things I learned, and the Lord continued to teach Julia and I as we've gone through these trials with her cancer, is it really helps solidify and sift out what's the really most important thing in life. Your health can be gone in an instant. I notice even with my parents and now Julie's dad, as you age, you lose your mind as well. And so we can't take anything with us. And the Lord wants to give us what we don't have. And that's the most precious thing. That's wisdom. That's found in Him. He wants to give us the skills to daily live, to be a good testimony for Him, to present Jesus Christ to the lost, to use our time wisely and not waste it, to be wise in our usage of all the affairs in our life. And we never arrive. And that's why it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. What's interesting is Pastor Dave's been going through the life of Christ. I notice in Luke, I believe it's in chapter 3, that Jesus, when he grew in stature, he became full of wisdom. Jesus Christ humbled himself as a man, and he needed to learn wisdom as well, to learn how different things work out in life, to how to get along with different personalities in life, different situations in life. And so he was full of wisdom because he gained his wisdom and his humanity from the Father in submission to his will. So the fear of the Lord is for us to acknowledge that he's creator, we are his creatures. He's the Father, and we're his children. He's the master and Lord of all, we are his servants. The fear of the Lord is to respect God for who he is, to listen to him carefully for what he has to say, and to humbly submit to all his will through childlike trust and in his character. And the other thing I noticed about Proverbs as we kind of wrap this up is I noticed that Proverbs is addressed over and over again to Solomon's son. But as these things are recorded, if we are his children, they are addressed to us as well. And maybe you were raised in a household where you had a lot of dysfunction in your family. Or maybe you're dysfunctional right now with your own family, and you don't know which end is up. I remember even, and I mentioned this one time before about my mom. My mom had no idea what parenting was about. Her parents were not good at parenting. So she didn't learn that skill. She didn't have that wisdom. But as she got saved and gained wisdom from the scriptures, she recognized that she could be given wisdom because God was her father and she was his child. So too, even if you had bad background, God wants to give you wisdom as well. So also then, the fear of the Lord is knowing that our disappointment, our disobedience, our stubbornness, and our rebellion, that's really what displeases him. And isn't that true as parents too? What really discourages us is when our kids really don't heed our instruction. And it builds that, it breaks that fellowship with the Lord, and it invites his chastening. So the fear of the Lord is not a servile fear as a slave before his master, but it's that reverential and respectful fear of the child before his parent. That's what the fear of the Lord is, and that's what the Lord wants to teach us. And let's close with opening up Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now, what's interesting about Ecclesiastes, it's one of the three books that Solomon wrote. The first one was that of Song of Solomon. And it is said that Song of Solomon was written in his youth. And then the Proverbs were recorded during his midlife. And then Ecclesiastes was the summary of his life. And unfortunately, though Solomon was the wisest man in the world in the sense that he was given information, he made a lot of bad choices in his life. And he came to the end of his life and he closed up the book of Ecclesiastes and he said it this way in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are well-driven nails. They make their point. They show you where you're wrong. But they are given by one shepherd, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter then. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all, and God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So let us be wise in our walk, even as Paul says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So I hope that just kind of spurred on you to take a look at the book of Proverbs as some of these things that I covered. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you so much for giving us a book of Proverbs. It's a treasure chest. It's a toolbox of all those gems of truth and of wisdom that can give us understanding. But above all things, may we have a heart that fears you, that respects you, that recognize that you're the only one that has the corner on the market of truth. And you and your love and wisdom have told us who we are, that we are all sinners, that we all fall short of the glory of God, that we all need a Savior, and that none is good as God is good. Thank you in your grace that you put that in your word, and may we recognize that salvation is of the Lord, as Jonah 2:9 says. So may we be wise in considering these things. In Jesus' name, amen.